Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the American Nightmare Podcast. This is episode 76, recorded July 25th, 2024. Nice one.
Yes.
All right. Okay. Let's waste no time and get started right away on news. So, news. The original Faces of Death is going to be available on Shudder in August.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah.
Nice.
Sweet. According to iHorror.com, everyone will soon get to see the movie that tricked the entire Gen X into believing murders in the video were real.
I feel like I should get a bunch of teenagers over to my house and we should all like huddle up and watch it because it's like, real shit.
Popcorn and all the other fun things.
They got to remember, though, we didn't have the internet back then. You know, you just had word of mouth and people were like, hey, this video, you got to watch this video. It's like these like real death scenes and shit. I think
the thing that made it even more wilder was there was always stories in the news about snuff videos getting passed around.
Yeah.
So you're like, oh, shit, what the fuck is this? I'm like, yeah, this is real murder.
Yeah. You know,
and
they kill a fucking monkey.
Right. I don't know about you guys, but the first time I saw it, it was not renting it at the video store. It was somebody's dad, somebody's tape.
Yeah.
And same like, here. I found this in the closet. This is real murders. You know,
mine was like a friend of a friend's older like brother got it from his friend, and like, you know, he stole it from his top drawer of his like, you know, bedroom. Like, oh shit, really? Yeah.
That's cool. Terrifier 3 released a teaser trailer and it's now available online on YouTube. It releases in theaters October 11th and it looks like it's gonna be a fucking blast.
Yeah, and it sounds like they're gonna give a little bit of explanation as to who that little girl is and why she brought art back to life. And,
oh, you mean they're gonna actually have more story?
Yeah, and also they're gonna explain the connection between art and what's her name's dad. Like the girl, you know, we thought last time maybe it was her dad, but I don't think it is. But
so yeah, I think they mentioned that it's not.
They must listen to our podcast. They took our advice.
Good.
Yeah, so there's gonna definitely be some explanations in this one.
Yeah, we gotta reach out to Damien Leone and see if we can get him on here for an interview.
Right? Isn't he Jersey guy or something?
That'd be awesome.
He's a Jersey guy, yeah.
That'd be awesome.
I'm gonna ping him. I'm gonna ping him on Instagram. See what he says. new trailer for Cuckoo is available online. That also releases August 9th. I think we've looked at a couple trailers for this. At least when I went to see Maxine, this trailer was in front of that.
Chris and I saw it when we went to go see Long Legs.
Yeah.
And it was in front of the Long Legs trailer movie too, right? Okay.
Yeah.
So this one looks pretty wild. What's his name that played David from
Euphoria?
Professor X's son? What was it called?
That person's in there too, right? The Euphoria.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The gal.
Yeah, yeah.
From Euphoria. That dresses up in.
But the dude that was asking her questions, I can't remember his name, but he was in Legion. He played Professor X's son in Legion.
I haven't seen that yet. I know
you didn't watch really Legion.
Good.
What is wrong with you? What?
You
what the
really
fuck?
Sorry.
It's up on Hulu, I think. So you should check it out.
Yeah, it looks kind of crazy.
It is wild. The first two seasons, but then the third season, it turned completely to shit. But you have to watch it to complete the story anyway. But anyway, there you go. So the little bit behind this, a reluctant 17-year-old Gretchen lives in an American home. She leaves her American home to live with her father, who has just moved to a resort in the German Alps with his new family. Arriving there at their future residence, they are greeted by Mr. Koenig, and which is her father's boss, who takes an inexplainable interest in Gretchen's mute half-sister, Alma. Something doesn't seem right in this tranquil vacation paradise. Gretchen is plagued by strange noises, bloody visions, and until she discovers the shocking secret that also concerns her own family. And it's another Neon Pictures release, which, man, Neon is just cranking the shit out, man, left and right.
I know,
and,
man. Neon is starting to move up there in the, you know,
when it
horror movie supremacy.
Yeah, when it comes to these independent films needing to be released, Neon's in production and ready to crank them out. Sam Raimi is getting ready to direct a film called Send Help for 20th Century Studios, according to Deadline. In an exclusive interview, Sam Raimi, architect of Evil Dead franchise, has closed the deal to direct and produce Send Help, a new horror thriller for 20th Century Fox. It's not yet officially greenlit by the studio, according to sources, but the film is described as a two-hander horror thriller set on an island. The story is said to fall somewhere between Rob Reiner's Stephen King adaptation of Misery and Robert Zemeckis' classic Castaway.
Interesting.
Send Help!
Maybe it'll be like that Creepshow special where that guy was by himself and like started eating himself.
That would be something, right?
That'd be awesome.
To see that in live action? Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
There's a new trailer for M. Night Shyamalan's trailer, Trap. PG-13 rating.
Oh, well, I mean, it takes place at like a Taylor. Well, it's not Taylor Swift, but it takes place at a pop concert.
And the thing is, it's not officially horror, but it's like a horror thriller. So,
okay. I think the trailers, I've seen trailers for that with both Maxine and
Long Legs. And again, there's some murder scenes. Like, he fucking kills people while in that place. So
yeah, it looks pretty good. Like, I'll see it. I mean, it's kind of a bummer it's PG-13, but 13-year-olds see a lot of shit these days. So, you know, today's PG-13 is yesteryear's like rated R. So
yeah. One of the videos that I dropped on our Facebook group is the Platform 2 trailer dropped by Netflix this week. That comes out in October. The first movie was pretty freaking good. And this one, the trailer makes it look like this one's going to be like even 10. It's going to be like the first one 10x.
That first movie was so different. Like, it was just like something I had never seen before. Like, yeah. You could see it happening. Like, it was like, holy shit, this could happen.
This could be a real fucking thing. Yeah.
It was a great movie. It's cool they're making a sequel. I'm looking forward to that.
Yep.
I also just saw, here's another article from Deadline. True Detective Season 5 is now in development. And since the director got a nod from the Emmys, they decided this is re-energized and reinvigorated them in the writing process.
The director from the last season?
Yeah, Issa Lopez. She is returning to write Season 5.
Okay. It was okay.
I liked it better than Season 2 and 3.
Yeah, well, no, I like season three better.
I like three better. Yep. Three to me was not as good as one.
No, it was close.
Definitely
it
better
was
close. Than four. All definitely right, better than four.
To be fair, I liked one so much that I quit two halfway through and didn't watch three because I was pissed off.
Oh, you have to watch three.
You got to watch three because it redeems.
Yep. Is that the one with Marsha Ali?
Yes, it redeems season two. I made my kids watch it too, and they were like, "Yeah, you know what? You know, this is good.
Not as good as the first one,
but it's definitely good. It's a different story, but it's really good.
It's my second favorite out of the series. I'll give it a shot then.
I pissed on it because I didn't watch it. Because two pissed me off so much.
Two was crap. Absolute garbage. Two was absolute garbage. Three was good. Four was okay. I fucking hated the ending. I don't know about you, but that last episode was a complete and utter letdown. I was like, what? Yeah. This is it?
Agreed.
I think they were trying to tie it too much to the first one.
Like, it didn't even really tie to the first one that much. Yeah. What?
Well, some of the symbols.
That symbol was it, right?
Yeah.
Bunch of bullshit.
It was good all the way through. Yeah, I thought it was a letdown.
Where's the Yellow King? I watch season one once a year. I fucking love it.
Do you really?
I love it.
Dude, Matthew McConaughey in that was just...
Unbelievable.
I mean, Woody Harrelson was great too, but McConaughey just was like...
Yep. Both of them. Once a year I watch it.
It's a great...
Right.
Could have made the list tonight too, maybe.
Yeah. Well... Alien Romulus released the final trailer and an IMAX trailer, because it will be in IMAX August 16th. Sigourney Weaver is the voice of Mother. Are you aware of that?
What?
The voice of Mother on the ship is Sigourney Weaver. They brought her back to do the voice. That's awesome.
Nice.
Because I heard in this new trailer, I hear Mother talking a bunch of times. And then I'm like, wait a minute. That fucking sounds like Sigourney Weaver. And I looked it up. Bam! She's the voice of Mother. According to The Wrap, Mike Flanagan is working on a Dark Tower series for Amazon. Dude, Mike Flanagan, number one, he's working on so much shit. I'm not sure how he's going to get it done.
He's the hardest working man in showbiz right now. Exactly. He's like James Brown.
Exactly. They even mentioned in the article that Amazon calls him weekly to have conversations to make sure that he's on track for the writing of the season.
Oh, that's right. They stole him from Netflix.
Yep. And he's also working on the fucking Exorcist trilogy he just signed up for. Now, according to this article in The Wrap, he swears, I am not going to fall short on either of these projects. I'm giving them all 100%. Don't worry. Don't think that I'm preoccupied with Exorcist and I won't get Dark Tower right. Don't think that I'm preoccupied with Dark Tower and I'm not going to get the Exorcist right. I'm here to give the fans what they want. So let's see what happens. Listen, most of his shit is really fucking good.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I only have gripes about a couple of them, and that's my personal issues. It had nothing to do with really whether or not the shows are bad. Like, I didn't like that Midnight Club. I didn't care for it.
I started it. Okay. I didn't like it.
Yeah, it didn't hold my attention. I didn't really care for it. And the same thing Bly Manor.
Yeah.
Midnight Club is better than Bly Manor, though. Midnight Club is better than Bly Manor.
I agree with that. And Midnight Mass, fucking amazing.
That was phenomenal.
Haunting of Hill House, Chef's Kiss, 5 stars. Yep. Like,
for sure.
But Dr. Sleep, Chef's Kiss,
really good.
Fucking great film.
Gerald's Game,
really good too.
Another great fucking film. Like, Mike Flanagan, he's not batting 1,000, but he's damn close.
Yeah.
So I'm willing to give him – I'm giving him benefit of the doubt that he'll pull this all off. Listen, The Dark Tower, Amazon is having weekly conversations with him. He's also working on the Exorcist movies. And according to this interview in The Wrap, he's saying that he's working hard on this and he's going to stick to portraying the Dark Tower as it should be. Listen, whoever made the Dark Tower film that came out a couple of years ago, it's garbage. Somebody's my daughter said, I said to her, hey, they're doing Stephen King's Dark Tower the right way as a TV series. And she said, wasn't that a movie with Matthew McConaughey? I'm like, I don't even want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about it. It's fucking trash.
I've heard that it wasn't very good.
Yeah. I have my definitive collector's edition of Dark Tower, and I got the Dark Tower comic books, because Dark Tower is a great storyline. Like, I really want to see this.
No one's adapted it well yet.
Right. So we'll see what's happening with this, but I'm giving him benefit of the doubt that it's all gonna be good. All right. Maxine is coming to digital in August.
Okay.
You'll be able to rent it on streaming services come August 1st.
Oh, nice.
Something else I also posted into Facebook is What We Do in the Shadows final season premieres October 21st. They will have 11 episodes this season.
Nice.
And they're dropping the first two episodes right away, or first three episodes, and then following up the rest one a week.
I'm really going to miss that show, but I get it. Like, you know, get out while you're on top. Yeah. I get it. You don't want to beat a dead horse. You don't want to pull the
Stranger Things fucking thing.
Those kids are going to be like in retirement homes by the time that next fucking season comes out.
Can you de-age a 22-year-old to 11? That's what I want to know. I can't wait to see that. That's going to be something shitty.
It's ridiculous. All
right. Yeah. The official description for this season says that after a very brief stint in the full-blown vampire, Guillermo is reevaluating his life. Who is he? If he's not a familiar, who will do anything to please his master in hopes of one day being turned into a vampire? Who is he? Meanwhile, the vampires are reevaluating too. When their former roommate, reappears after a 50-year nap, they realize how little that they've done in over a century, Not one goal accomplished, not one dream pursued, not one part of the new world conquered except for their street on that part of
Staten Island.
Yeah.
In Staten Island. I can't wait. Such a great show.
I'm excited for it. According to Deadline, Stephen King adaptation The Long Walk has begun production. Lionsgate has commenced in production of The Long Walk. It's an adaptation of a 1979 novel from Stephen King starring Cooper Hofferman and David Johnson. Adding 7 to the cast. Originally published under Stephen King's pseudonym, Richard Bachman, The Long Walk focuses on a dystopian America that is entertained by the long walk. It's a competition in which 50 teenagers walk without rest. Each competitor must keep walking faster than 3 miles per hour or risk being eliminated.
Sounds like Squid Games.
That was a great story. That was one of
a good story.
That was part of like a compilation that he did. When Hunger Games came out, like I was in my head, I was like, you know what? This kind of reminds me of
The Long Walk.
The Long Walk. I was like, they should do that. That'd make a great movie.
Well,
I wonder who's going to play the Colonel.
I didn't see any additional details. I just saw Lionsgate announced that it has begun production. So that's cool.
That should be pretty sweet.
One more news story for me, and that is this weekend, Midsummer Scream comes to Long Beach. Notably, someone that's there, Dana DiLorenzo, will be there. Yeah. Unfortunately, this year I am not going. My son's coming to visit, so I'm not going to be able to go. But
you can take him with you.
I went last year. Hey, I'm going to spend money on some other shit. We're going to do some other stuff. I would go to see Dana DiLorenzo.
She's aged quite well, too.
Yes, she has.
Yeah, I mean, she hasn't done anything since
Ash versus Evil Dead.
Ash,
no.
Yeah.
No.
I was a fan of her, too. But
she still looks good, though.
Yeah.
It's been a few years, but. Yeah, well, you think they'd at least get her in some horror flicks, like, you know.
Yeah, right? Like, the only thing that I know that she did in between was she did the voice of her character in the Evil Dead video game, which is now done. They shut the servers down. That shit's done. So.
Yeah, I was upset with that game.
It was a failure of a game. Failure.
Yeah. Didn't buy it.
All right. Any new stories or noteworthy things to talk about from you guys?
I got two, and this one's more of a question because I only partially read, like, what was going on with it, but the Toxic Avenger. Like, they can't find distribution for it because it's
it's too weird.
Too weird? Like, I was like, well, why are we not,
It's been shelved. It's been shelved. It's officially been shelved as of this month.
I mean, we got Shudder, we got Screambox. I mean, like, nobody wants to pick it up. Like,
I think what it is maybe there were offers to pick it up, but the prices weren't quite right for what they paid to develop it, so.
Yeah, because then Shudder just dropped all the original ones, I think, or.
Yeah, yeah, they got all trauma on there now. They got all trauma on.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I was up at the Four Horsemen the other night, and I watched the original, and then right after that, they played the Tromaville Class of 84 or whatever the fuck that thing is.
Yeah,
I was thinking of watching Tromeo and Juliet this weekend.
Fucking another great one, penned by the great what's his name? Wrote that. The guy that wrote Guardians of the Galaxy.
No,
come on, what's his name, damn it? I hate getting old. The guy that did Guardians of the Galaxy, the guy that's taking over to DCEU right now.
Oh, yeah, shit. Oh, damn.
Exactly. Come on, tell me you're not old without telling me you're not old, right?
And the other thing I have is Drag Me to Hell 2.
Yes.
Sam Raimi announced that they're working on Drag Me to Hell 2, which was shocking. I was like
you know what it is? Let me tell you. Yeah, that's right. James Gunn, Romeo and Juliet. That's right.
That's it. James Gunn. Yep.
Let me tell you. You know what happened with Sam Raimi? He got a taste of that Marvel money, and now he's like, I need to crank out some more shit.
Dude. I'm stoked for Drag Me to Hell 2, you know? Like any Sam Raimi horror that you're going to throw at me, just take my money. Just take my money.
Yes.
That's all I got.
Awesome.
I think Quiet Place Day 1 just dropped on Netflix, or it's going to.
Oh, yeah?
Shortly.
Nice. Yep. I heard it was really good.
Yeah, I didn't see it. But it's dropping on Netflix, I think.
I was tempted to go see it in the theater, but the thing is, I saw three freaking movies in the theater this month.
I know, right? I went and saw Maxine, and we went to see Long Legs.
So I want to say it's as early as next week, I think, so we'll be able to watch it.
And I'm going to see Deadpool Wolverine tomorrow, so I'm like, man, this is like three movies in the last month Deadpool, and a half Wolverine that I've gone tomorrow. To the theater to see.
Yep. And then I was at the theater last weekend. I went to see here at the American Cinematheque in California here. I went to the Arrow Theater up in Santa Monica, and I watched the 1996 version of Hamlet, fucking 4 hours long.
Wow.
With a 15-minute intermission. And then I left and I ate dinner and I came back and I watched Streets of Fire, 70mm 40th anniversary edition. I mean, there's a day of fucking movies nonstop.
Yeah.
All right. Now we got five great flicks to watch on what?
Netflix.
All right.
We haven't done Netflix in a while. I was looking at the list, and you know, to be honest, I was actually considering dropping Netflix because there's not much on
Me
there.
Too.
That I,
Me
not
too.
Not much on there that I want to watch. Although right now I'm watching Exploding Kittens, which is pretty funny.
That is pretty funny. Did you see the Comic-Con display they have?
No.
Their booth is a cat's asshole. I don't know if you saw it, but they stick their head. They were sticking their head out of the cat's tail is like above them, and it's like the whole booth, and they just sticking their head out through the asshole to talk to people.
That's awesome. Yeah, and Tom Ellis, the guy who did Lucifer, is the voice of Godcat. So
yeah, that was pretty good too.
I like all their comics. I like their games, and so when I saw that was on, so I was like, all right, I'm not gonna get rid of Netflix just yet because I want to watch Exploding Kittens. But I really thought about getting rid of it because there hasn't been a lot of original content. But there are some decent horrors on there. So here's five horrors you can watch on Netflix right now. We've reviewed some of them, I think, or at least talked about them before.
Nice.
No particular order. Actually, this one leads me into another thing that I don't know if we talked about this last month, but It Follows. And they got They Follow, I think.
They
Follow is
coming, right?
Coming out. You know, they're working on They Follow. Great movie. And the girl who is the lead actress in that is in Long Legs as the detective that we're going to be talking about later. So if you haven't seen It Follows, it's a great movie.
Great movie.
The Pope's Exorcist is currently on Netflix. We reviewed that one, and it was a surprisingly good movie that I enjoyed, and I hope they – rumor has it they're making a sequel, right?
Like, yep.
So looking forward to that. Thanksgiving, another one that we've talked about on here, is on Netflix. Great flick. Bone Tomahawk, which is – I'm not a big Western guy, but it's got a it's an interesting movie, and it's got a good cast to it, and you know, it's a horror Western, which you don't see those all that often.
Yep.
And The Devil All the Time, which is also an amazing cast, and I've talked about it on here numerous times. Just a great. I think it's a Netflix original, and it was such a great movie. Those are five movies that if you haven't seen them, you should check out on Netflix.
Fantastic. Good list. Maybe I won't cancel Netflix. I was going to cancel and then just pick it back up when Sandman 2 comes out or something else that I want. All right. Let's move on to our top five list. The top five list this month is top five crime-based horror films.
That was a good call on that one. That was a good one.
I figured it tied in well with Long Legs, and there's a lot of crime-based ones out there. When I say crime-based, I'm saying it revolves around a criminal or crime event or anything related to a crime or criminals.
Yeah, cops investigating stuff.
It's a widespread kind of thing, really, if you think about it.
Right.
This month it is Craig, Chris, Sal, and we'll start with Craig, your top five.
Okay, here we go. Number five, The Black Phone.
Great one. The part two is coming out soon.
Yep.
Do we have a release date on that?
No.
No?
No.
All right. That was a good movie.
This was a tough list. There's a lot of really, really, really good movies.
Yeah, for sure. I got several honorable mentions.
Yeah, me too. Number four went with Seven.
Oh,
that's self-explanatory.
Fucking great one, yeah.
Self-explanatory for sure. Number three. Oh,
by the way, I just want to mention David Fincher, the director of Seven. He is so proud of that movie. Out of all the movies he's making, he's only doing a couple of them in 4K releases, and he says he's working on Seven right now.
Oh, nice. Oh,
yeah.
Oh nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Such a dreary what a great film, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And at the time, like, at the time, you didn't know. They didn't really, like, portray in the trailers who the killer was. So you didn't know. And then when they finally, like introduced him, like, oh, shit. Dude, what? Yeah. You know, it was great.
What a great movie. It was a
great cast, too.
Oh, yeah. God, yeah. Yeah. Warren Freeman, Brad Pitt. I think that's where I sort of, I don't know that I didn't dislike Brad Pitt, but I was like, eh, he's Brad Pitt. You know what I mean? Like, all the girls are swooning after him. But, like, I saw that movie. I was like, I like Brad Pitt.
Kevin Spacey was great, too.
Yeah. Okay, number three, Dead Silence.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
Remember Donnie Wahlberg is the detective trying to solve the case.
Oh, was he the detective in that one? You know, I don't think I even remember that.
Yeah. He was.
That was one of James Wan's first ones, right?
Yeah.
And it was so good. I remember just being fucking thrilled with how great of a film
just
that
the
was.
Opening of that movie. You're like, whoa! You know, the doll shows up on the front door. And
it was creepy.
It's under the covers. That was like, dude.
Yeah.
You're like, whoa.
Yeah. Scare the shit out of me. Scare
not
the
only
shit
that,
out of me.
The reveal at the end was also fucking great, too.
Yeah. Yep. Yep, absolutely. So, yeah, that's my crime. Number two, Long Legs.
Nice.
Well, and we'll talk about that more here in a bit.
And I had to go, I had a hard time with this, but I had to go Silence of the Lambs for number one. What's his name? Oz Perkins or?
Oz Perkins, who did Long Legs.
Yeah, he said Silence of the Lambs was a huge influence on this movie.
That won like a few like Oscars, right? For like not for the movie, but didn't it win like for like?
Anthony Hopkins, I think won.
Yeah, I mean it's when you think of like crime based like horror movies, that's one of the ones you think
of.
And
I just went back and I was like, yeah, you know what? I mean, it's still solid and it just edged out Long Legs.
I mean, like when I was trying to explain to friends about Long Legs, I said, you know, think of it. I said it's not a horror movie per se, but it's a procedural crime drama with horror elements. Like, you know, which is Silence of the Lambs.
Exactly.
Or Seven.
A lot of people don't even think of Silence of the Lambs as a horror film, but I definitely rank it up there as one of the better horror films in this genre.
Yeah,
for sure.
Nice list.
Oh, honorable mentions.
Yes.
First Power, Lou Diamond Phillips.
That's been on one of your lists before, I think, hasn't it? Or
yeah.
What?
Yeah, it's been on a couple of my lists, too, yeah.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Yep. I did go True Detective first season, because I think we've incorporated some of those miniseries into our list. And Malignant.
Another good one.
the end of that one was crazy.
Yeah.
All right. Let me launch off on my top five crime horror movies. My number five is Totally Killer. I enjoy that's one. A thoroughly entertaining horror film revolving around a crime.
And
I haven't seen it, but it is on my list.
Kiernan Shipka is great too. Yeah. I loved her as Sabrina. Like. Yep. And, she was also, I think, in another horror, too. I can't remember it off the top of my head, but...
She was...
It's fine. We don't have to think about it. Yep. We'll just move on, but that was a good movie.
Yeah, my number four is Silence of the Lambs.
Okay.
My number three, Long Legs.
Wow.
My number two is Dead Silence.
Nice.
That's funny.
Dude, because that one, you and I watch that one together too? We watched that one together,
theater.
I think.
Oh,
yeah.
No, it was in a theater, you and I.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it just fucking, even the beginning just fucking almost jumped out of my fucking seat.
Yep.
And then my number one, Seven, because fucking David Fincher, man. That movie.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Like, David Fincher does some good shit. Like, he's got it. Like, you know, there's just some directors that, you know what they're doing.
And then go ahead.
My coach's daughter was cured in Shipka's other horror.
Yeah. You're right.
And I got two honorable mentions. This one I almost wanted to put at number five, but Ma.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. That's under the radar, too. That's definitely
And I was almost, that was going to be number five, but I'm like, these others are so good.
That's one we've watched several times because, like, it just surprises you when you first watch it. You're like, holy shit, I was not expecting that. I was not expecting that at all. Especially when she had the dude chained up to the bed upstairs. Yeah. That shit. Yeah. I was like, oh, what the fuck?
Yeah.
I mean, I knew she was crazy, but...
Yeah, what a fucking film, though. Even that, because you don't see her in roles like that.
No, not at all.
So seeing her in that role was even added to that shock value. And then the other one, which I was like, you know what? I have this on every fucking list I ever do. House of a Thousand Corpses. So I just like, I'll just admit it. Honorable mentions.
It's definitely a crime horror.
The cop shootout. You know,
well, because remember, the cops come to the place. They kill all the cops. So it's a family of criminals.
What's the name of that sheriff guy?
Walter Goggins gets killed right away. He shows up like 2 minutes. So I'm like, dead. Shit, Walter Goggins dead. Yeah. I was like, so long, Walter Goggins.
Yeah. So, and my thing with that one is, if I put that on the list, is I'm sure people are going to be like, "What the fuck? This guy only likes House of a Thousand Corpses." So I just honorable mention. It's a good crime horror film.
Yeah.
Nice. Good list. Nice. Good list.
Good list. Yep.
All right. So my list is my number five is one of the movies I mentioned on Netflix, The Devil All the Time.
Nice. Okay.
I just like it's such a great like.
It is
like,
a good one.
Just
it
a gritty a like, and the cast is phenomenal. Like it's just a great crime horror. Number four, Long Legs. We'll
talk about that one next.
We'll talk about that here in a bit. My number three is Silence of the Lambs, which we've just kind of discussed quite a bit here. My number two, which wasn't on either one of your lists, but it spawned a franchise with Saw.
Okay.
I really liked the original, and there's quite a few afterwards that I liked, but that, you know, it's there's police involved in that, and
Danny Glover. Little Danny Glover action.
Yep.
And actually, at one point, one of the police you follow throughout a couple episodes ends up being one of his like disciples. So, you know that.
Yep.
And then my number one is Seven.
David Fincher.
David Fincher, you know, and I haven't even watched Mindhunter on Netflix yet, but I heard it's phenomenal.
Yeah. Yeah.
So those are my top five. I have several honorable mentions. The Outsider, which was that series on HBO.
Really good.
No, Mindhunter is awesome. I watched it.
I've heard it's great, really but I haven't watched it yet. And supposedly they should have had a third season, but didn't. And he's still trying to pitch the third season. But anyway, another one of my honorable mentions is Copycat, which I thought was a great like crime drama from back in the 90s. Sigourney Weaver, Harry Connick Jr., like just like the copycat killer, like some of the murders were like pretty brutal.
They were, and that's during that stint where Harry Connick Jr. was trying to be in every fucking movie. What does he mean? He was in like a handful of movies all at the same time. Then it was like
he was great as the killer, though. He was great.
He was.
You know.
Yeah, and because all the other times he was like a cop in the background, or he was like an assistant, or
He was in
Silence
character.
Of the Lambs too. He was one of the cops. He was one of the SWAT team in Silence of the Lambs. Harry Connick Jr. Yeah,
I don't remember that, but he played kind of the Hannibal Lecter character in Copycat. So
yeah, it was good. That was a good one.
And The Collector, which they got a third one.
They got
coming
the new
out,
one coming out. Yeah,
which you know was a guy breaking into a house to you know like steal some shit to help feed his family. So that's my honorable mention list.
Nice. Very good. Very good. Very good. All right. Fantastic top five list. We're still coming up with lists, man, without any assistance from our listeners, you fucking pricks.
Come on, give us something. Just give us one. Just give us one.
Yeah, it would be nice. Damn it.
Anybody. Come on, I'll give you $5. I'll Venmo you $5 if you give us a top five list that we haven't done yet.
Exactly.
It makes sense.
Exactly. All right. Let's move on to the movie review of the month. This month we are reviewing Long Legs.
Craig and I went to see it together.
Nice. Quick summary. The pursuit of a serial killer, FBI uncovers a series of occult clues that she must solve to end this terrifying killing spree. Directed by Oz Perkins, produced by Dan Kagan, Brian Kavanaugh Jones, Nicolas Cage, Dave Kaplan, and Chris Ferguson. Screenwriter is Oz Perkins. Distributed by Neon. Hey, thank you, Neon. Bravo. Thank
Neon
you.
Cranking them out. Way to go, Neon.
Yep. Produced by Saturn Films. Is rated R for some disturbing language, disturbing images, and blood and violence. The genre is horror slash mystery and thriller. Original language is English. It was released July 12, 2024. And the box office gross in the U.S. was $44.9 million with a runtime of 1 hour and 41 minutes.
That's a good box office. In this day and age, for an independent horror film, that's a good draw right there.
They spent less than $4 million cranking this film.
I wonder how much they spent to get Nick in there.
Actually, I think he worked really cheap. Face, right? He worked really cheap.
Well, he did get producer, credits. So,
yeah, so he's probably getting some back end on it. So that's kind of nice. All right, so this film, all the advertising of it really bragged it up as being kind of one of the most wild, scariest films of the year.
They did a great job with the advertisements for this movie, I thought.
Yeah, because they never really revealed much. They didn't even give you a clue as to what the film was about until the final trailer. And even then, it was vague.
I remember like a year ago when the first teaser trailer came out, we talked about it. I'm like, I don't know, man. I don't even know what the fuck this movie is about. It reminds me of Skinamarink.
Right,
like, it looks like Skinamarink. I don't know if I'm going to watch it.
Exactly. And then the only thing you get is a little bit of, there she is. And I'm like, what the fuck? And then you don't see anything. You don't know what the hell's going on. You just, a couple occult images, a couple other images, an image of a child, an image of a chair in front of a mirror.
And they're like, have you been saying your prayers?
Yeah.
Have you been saying your prayers to keep the evil away?
Right. Saying your prayers keeps the demons away. I'm like, what the fuck? It was great marketing. Absolutely brilliant. And I'm pretty sure that is the main reason why they pulled those box office numbers on that opening weekend. Because just the advertisements, just those little teasers all the time that told you nothing, just made me want to go see it.
Yep.
Yeah.
When I went on the open, what was it, the opening weekend? No, it was like the following weekend, but there was still a pretty full theater. I was surprised.
I think when Craig and I went to see it, there's probably, maybe a dozen people in the theater?
Yep, and one of those decided to sit in front of me.
Yeah.
I can't win.
It's ridiculous when the theater's totally empty and someone just needs to sit right in front.
We moved like twice because the first seats we sat in, like the one was like leaning to the like left and shit.
Well, that's the other thing about the theater going experience nowadays. I could write a whole 50-page essay on that.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's the way that people behave, the actions, the noises, the giggling, the laughing out loud, the talking to your buddy, the browsing on your phone in complete fucking darkness.
We had somebody open up the door behind us when the movie was going on and like yell some shit.
Girls, there was like girls giggling and
like giggling and shit like in the door. I'm like, come on, what the fuck?
That bullshit, the broken down chairs, the shitty air conditioning, there's scum
sticky
on
floors.
There's like scum on parts of the film. Like you're looking at the screen and it's like there's something dripped down the screen. Like, wipe this fucking screen down, bro. Someone obviously threw something at the screen up there. Yeah. But and then they're like, hey, how comes no one's coming to the theater? I don't know, you tell me.
Yeah.
I forget what it was. I went to see one like about a year ago and one of the speakers cracked the whole time. Every time like a explosion happened or something, you're like, dude, what the fuck? Fix the speaker. Like, replace the speaker.
Yeah.
Ruins like, the movie. Hey,
why are theaters? Nobody's going to see movies anymore because they're seeing all this cheap garbage. No, it's
They're showing too many fucking commercials and
My God. That's
like 40 minutes. It's like 40 minutes.
Dude, the beginning of Long Legs, I timed it out. It was 35 minutes of fucking commercials, man.
Yeah.
35 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's bullshit. You're paying $15 to go to a movie, and then you're going to make me sit through 40
minutes?
Well,
that's what's keeping them in business. They're selling that fucking time.
Unbelievable.
Anyway, back to the movie.
Off on a fucking tangent, bitching about theaters. Well,
damn old men.
I consider myself a cinephile. I love movies. I go to movies all the time. I'm a member of the American Cinematheque because I want to go. They have these 70mm festival going on right now. And then they had the Pride Festival. And then they had the Dreary Festival. And then, all that great stuff that comes out every year. I love to go see films. I love cinema. But I
used to love the movie experience, too. Like, going to the theater, I wanted to do that. I didn't want to watch movies at home.
You're right. It's not the same thing anymore. So this film stars, I forget, what is her name? The girl that the starred
the film. Malika?
It's a weird name.
Yeah. As we mentioned before, she was in It Follows.
It Follows and something else, too, but I can't remember what the other one she was in.
Yeah, and then...
But they really like made her look more frumpy and, you know...
Right, yep. But you could tell
unattractive
that...
Unattractive.
Yeah, like no makeup. Make a Monroe.
Well, not only that, but kind of like she had this kind of behavior.
Yeah, like
that
like
made you wonder if like
something,
there's something wrong with her. Yeah, like is she autistic? Is there something mental about her? You know, they obviously showed that she could like mathematically figure things out. She decrypted the cryptic messages left behind in the murder scenes.
And she seemed to have a sense about this particular like serial killer.
And the funny thing is, and let's just say right
for
here,
for good reason.
Starting right here, we're going to start discussing, because a lot of this to be able to discuss, even from right at the beginning, we got to talk spoilery stuff.
Okay? Yeah. See, I didn't realize that was Kieran Shipka either. The girl in the mental hospital with short hair.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I didn't either. What, it was?
Really?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I didn't realize that either. Oh, yep. Shit.
I recognized it right away. You know,
man. Damn, I'm gonna watch it again anyway. But now I'm gonna have to like pay attention next time.
Dude, I already ordered. The 4K Blu-ray. It's
and you gotta look for all the Easter egg devils.
Oh, that was awesome, dude.
Well, that's the thing. I was just gonna mention that. So now that we're getting into spoilery stuff, right off the bat, the devil appears in the background all the time.
Yeah,
there's so many scenes where you're like,
and
what the
fuck? I wasn't looking for it either.
Me neither. Like, I was like, that shadow looks a lot like fucking Satan, man.
Yeah.
Right. Let me tell you that there was enough like eeriness in the all the characters.
The entire movie was eerie. Like they used that sepia tone or whatever for like the shots that like gave it that like just dreary feel to it. And the score I thought like did a really good job keeping it like depressing.
Yep. And then you have the sense of like it's always there's never a sunny day. Like it's always the weather. It's always cloudy. It's like in fall.
Snowy
at the beginning, it opens up in the winter with a little girl outside in wintertime.
There's a soon to be birthday girl.
Yeah.
Well, who the fuck is that? It opened up with like super creepy. Like I was like, dude, what the the sequence of the movie I thought worked really well.
Yes. Yeah. The thing is, and the biggest gripe that I hear in some of the reviews was like people didn't like Nicolas Cage's character. They didn't understand it. And I think they made it kind of clear at the beginning just by the soundtrack and the articles, the stuff that was on the screen during the opening, is that he was some sort of failed glam rock singer.
Yeah.
Right?
T-Rex.
So you get the sense, that he was kind of like a T-Rex, kind of androgynous,
that's the soundtrack, right?
1960s, 1970s singer who was doing this stuff. And then at the end, when you finally get the reveal of his full face in the interrogation room, you're like, oh, fuck, he looks fucked up. So you assume it had to be like plastic surgery or something that he was doing to try and keep
like
the
Axl
androgynous
Rose.
Look. Yeah, like Axl Rose. There you go. Perfect.
Sorry, Axl. I love your music, man.
But you look like a fat woman. But let me tell you. So from the very beginning, and the thing that threw me off, like it was like dead on right in the beginning. You get they're at the FBI. It's her and a partner. They go to a house. They're looking for, you know, they're being released to look for some criminal. I don't remember what the deal was with the criminal. They get there and they got to go door to door, ask if they've seen this guy. And she goes, it's this house.
Yeah,
like, I think he's here. And the guy's like, we're not gonna call in a hunch. Like this is, we're new here. We're not gonna just call in a hunch. And she's like, okay. And they go up to the door and he knocks and the door opens and bang! They fucking kill the FBI agent right away. I'm like, what the fuck? Like I did not expect that.
No,
right
at
away.
All.
No, not at all. No. I was like, oh shit.
Yeah, and then she goes into the house and she's breathing heavily. Like the camera angles, the cinematography was fucking great. Because all of the camera angles as she was going around the corners, the sound editing, because you could hear her breathing heavily. You could tell like she's number one, she's in shock because the guy just got blown away in front of her. And then number two, she's got to now go into this house armed and try and stop this guy.
Oh, yeah. It was like plastic all over. And that's why I said that sort of reminded you of Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah,
right?
For sure.
Yes.
Yep.
Like when she's pursuing Buffalo Bill. But a little different. But, I mean, it was just plastic. It wasn't dark, but there was, like, plastic all over everything.
Yeah. But my
like
thought was, Yeah, my thought was this is a great scene to kind of lay the groundwork and say, look, you're dealing with someone has some psychic abilities or some intuition abilities. You're dealing with a green agent, like she's a young agent just off the out of school. And it's going to be a fucking no holds barred horror film because you just seen a guy's head blow up, getting shots, you know, points.
Yeah. And it was a good, yeah. I mean, you could see just poof. It was like real,
you
know, like he flew back and it was.
But then, what was the boss's name? Agent Carter? Was it Agent Carter?
Yes.
Blair Underwood?
Blair Underwood's character, Agent Carter. So
good character too, right?
Yeah, great character. And then they start establishing, you know, the murder that they're looking for. He's leaving these, like, there's no evidence of a break-in. It's just, like, families murdered.
Appears the dad kills the families and then kills himself.
And then kills himself. So it's all murder-suicide, and there's always a note left behind.
No forced entry. It would all seem to happen within the house, you know.
Yeah, it's all, like, weird. Like, well, how the hell is that shit happening? Like,
yeah, and then there's, like, a cryptic note left behind, and all of them are signed Long Legs.
Long Legs.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm like, wow, that's fucking kind of crazy.
Yeah.
One thing I didn't think about is why the name Long Legs. Did they reveal
that? They don't ever explain that, I don't think.
Oz Perkins said it just had that sound of the time period.
And creepiness.
Yeah.
I mean, it was sounded fucking creepy to me, but I'm like, Long Legs. Maybe was the name of the guy's band or something.
Yeah, like you said, it reminded him of whatever it was, the 80s or 70s or 70s. Was it 70s, 80s? I don't remember.
It was. I'm assuming it was the 70s, right? Because they were playing fucking
T-Rex.
Well, yeah, and the movie took place in the 90s because it had Bill Clinton's picture like up.
Right. So the murder started in the 70s. They went on until the 80s, and then the film actually took place in the 90s. And right after she got on the case, she goes to her home. Which, by the way, the weird thing is every fucking window was open in the middle of the night. No blinds, no nothing.
Yeah, right?
And the murderer is visiting her house, like, right off the bat.
Yeah.
Leaves her a birthday card. Do not open until your birthday. And she opens it.
She opens it, yeah.
And that's the first time that you get to see the devil in the background in the doorway right behind her as she's opening the letter.
Yep.
But to me, I was kind of thrown off because I'm reading all these reviews saying, it's like Silence of the Lambs, influenced by Silence of the Lambs. It's a murder mystery. And I'm like, dude, the murderer is already knows where she's at.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Met her at her house, dropped off a birthday card, addressed her by name.
Yeah, she doesn't have to, like, seek him out, like, hold up somewhere. He's there.
Yeah,
Yeah.
And throughout the movie, she does not reveal that to anybody. She doesn't reveal it to
them. Yeah, she keeps that a secret.
Right? Exactly. But I'll say, throughout this film, the cinematography, fucking great. The scenes were all eerie when they're going to the barn at the camp. Yeah. I forget what the name of the camp was that Carrie Ann, you know, the girl that snapped out of it when they found, it's funny when they found the doll.
Yeah.
Is when she snapped out of it.
Yeah.
So it's almost like their souls are tied to the doll.
Yeah, and that was one of the things, like, in the third act of the movie, I really enjoyed the movie, but the third act, like, I was the supernatural aspect of it. I wasn't sure they were going to play up quite so much. And like
you knew it right off the bat because he had the devil in the background. And when they showed the little dolls, they put the veil over the doll's head.
Yeah.
And its eyes light up as demon eyes.
Fear with like the devil juice in it, or like what, like
it's some sort of spell where he captures the girl's soul in that ball.
Yeah. I think that was the only part that I thought was just a bit too hokey for me. Like I was just I was digging it, and that just took me off a bit. Like, you know, I was just
somewhere
like,
somewhere along the way, you're led to believe that he made a deal with the devil.
For sure, yeah, I get that, but I wasn't expecting magic balls.
Yeah, but I mean, to me, it was supernatural from day one, right? Because she had some intuition, right?
For sure,
to find that first murderer.
I know. I'm not saying it ruined the movie, and I'm not saying it wasn't unexpected. I think the devil balls in the the dummy heads were a bit of a stretch for me, which
I still find it just amazing that you didn't realize that was Kieran Shipka.
No, yeah, I'm like not at all, which is crazy.
Yeah, I love the way that she had the southern accent. She's like, "Yeah, well, if he did ask me to jump off a roof, I sure as would."
Well, and I thought Alicia Witt as the mom was great too.
That was fucking great too.
She was creepy as hell and too, right? Like, very you knew creepy. Something was like up and, with her too.
Well, yeah,
like,
I knew something was up with her, but I just thought she was like, you know, like an alcoholic or druggie or something like that, because she was a pack rat. Obviously, she walked into the house and like there was just shit everywhere.
Well, and they didn't explain. Excuse me. They didn't explain what happened with Lee's father, Lee Harker's father, right?
Like
she was born, how she doesn't have a dad. They didn't say the dad ran away, the dad left, and then he got killed or whatever.
Yeah. And she was like a nun, or like not a nun, but like,
or she worked at the church or something to that effect. She was a nurse, right? Was she a nurse?
Yes,
nurse. She was a nurse,
but a nurse for like church,
a convent or something. So,
but I thought she was
That's how she got in. Knock knock.
Yeah, that shocked me. I didn't see that. I didn't see that part.
That was fucking great. The reveal at the end, I thought was fucking. I did not see that coming.
Yeah,
me neither.
I'm like,
and he was in the basement the whole fucking time too. You're like, whoa.
That I didn't see either, because like.
You knew something was up because she almost like unlocked it and went down, but she didn't, right? It was like, but you knew something was in that room.
I think,
but that wasn't a room; it was the fucking basement.
Yeah, you know,
it was like,
it turns out that, and the big reveal at the end is that that little girl, the family was going to be
the girl at the beginning of the movie,
but the mom spared their lives by making a deal with the devil, also.
Yeah.
To deliver,
which was cool.
Yeah, to deliver the dolls to homes as a gift from the church. Oh, you won a prize! won a prize! Look, the church made a doll that looks just like you.
I think my favorite scene though is the scene where she's interrogating him.
Yeah,
you know, when she finally meets Long Legs, and they say that when she didn't see him, they kept them separate
She was terrified by his makeup, by his facial makeup.
Yeah, because he looked like a freaky Tiny Tim. Like, he reminded me of Tiny Tim.
Yeah.
You know, I waited for him to break out the ukulele, like, you know, start singing Tiptoe Through the Satans or something.
Well, the voice, the voice, man, because he goes, "There she
is." Yeah.
Like, you know, it's weird, though. Like, I saw an interview with Nick Cage, and they asked him where he got the inspiration for his character. He said his fucking mom, dude.
Yeah, he said he summoned the spirit of his mother to play that part.
My mom was so nice and kind, you know what I mean? It was like, I'm like, whoa, dude. I don't want to meet his mom.
that is crazy. But when he was sitting there getting interrogated, I loved that scene. And then when he just fucking
started bashing his fucking head against the table,
I was like, what the fuck? And then he was dead. And I'm like, wait a minute. Like,
well, because like,
dead now.
Right. Because now that's where it kicks off, that fulfilling Satan's bargain with the mother.
Yeah.
That someone else is going to wind up making the dolls in the future, and it's going to wind up being that girl, but she fucking fought back.
Yeah. Like that, like I loved, like that scene was just great. Like I loved that.
And then the agent Carter scene too, towards the end.
Well, you know, they introduced his daughter for a reason. They introduced her and they got her friendly with the daughter.
And you're coming to my party. Right,
that's foreshadowing for sure. Like, she's
involved
in this for some
reason.
The
mom
invited her.
Birthday was coming up, and all this happened always on the birthdays.
She warmed up to her very she warmed up to her very fast, right? It was like, there was something about her that she liked or whatever, you know. It was like,
yeah.
Yeah. And then when they finally reveal at the end the doll in their house. And she goes to the house, and the little girl's like just adoring the doll. And you can see the fucking psycho behavior in the dad just like starting
already.
I'm like, oh shit. Like, this shit happens fast.
The mom's like sitting there like.
Yeah, like, there's no fucking playing around. This is fast.
You get that Satan doll, and it happens pretty quick.
Yeah.
Them Satan balls are magical.
Yeah. And then he's like, we'll go into the kitchen and get a drink or whatever. We'll get something from the kitchen.
And you're not coming out. Something to remember? She goes,
yeah. I was like, oh, shit.
But it's weird because you can see like they're under the influence of darkness, but you could tell that the mom knew that she's going to die. Like she's dying. Yeah. Mm-hmm. that whole fucking scene was so unnerving. And then the mom just sitting there on the couch, like, you need to let this play out. You need to let this happen. Mm. I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And then, of course, you get Satan behind her. I'm like, God damn.
Craig, right before you came on, Sal and I just discussed briefly, like, and I said, you know, it reminded me kind of, because I went online to see what other people thought of it, and it got, like, mixed reviews. And for me, it kind of reminded me of, like, the first time I watched, like, Hereditary. I had to digest it after I watched it, because it was a slow burn that with a lot that went on, and I had to, like, think it through some parts, which is what I had to do with this one. Like, when I first left, I'm like, I don't know. But the more I thought about it after, I thought about it a lot after I left, which is a good sign. But I think there was a lot of people who didn't like it because it was a slow burn and it wasn't what they were expecting for a horror because of the commercials. But I thought it was great. Like, I thought it was good.
Yeah.
I thought so, too. I think there's too many Americans that are just looking for jump scares and
a bunch of gore and a bunch of bullshit. And this thing, it was more intriguing because the crime aspect, the like what is actually going on, like kind of mystery behind it.
I mean, there was sort of jump scares in there.
There was, but it wasn't.
When he got shot, I sort of like boom, like whoa, you're like back.
Well, the thing that really kind of threw me too is just, you know, being concentrated and watching this film. When Lee Harker, you know, the agent, runs out the door and you see the mom with a shotgun facing into the car and just blasting away at the FBI agent in the car. I'm like, oh, fuck.
And remember, they were like stabbing a doll. Wasn't somebody like stabbing a doll too? It was like...
Yeah, it was pretty fucking wild. But yeah, I overall, like... There was
trippy scenes in there too, right?
I liked it enough that I pre-ordered the 4K. I'm like,
when they would show the shit in the background, like when they would go from scene to scene, like just the weird, like the snakes and shit, and like, you know,
yeah.
Well, she would have like these like mental visions of stuff.
Yeah,
and that must like have been she had Satan. Some sort of connection to him.
The Satan that was still in her brain from the doll.
The Satan ball that was in her doll that was hidden somewhere.
Yeah,
that's pretty fucking wild. And then what? The mom took the shotgun to the doll's head.
To the doll's head. And it was cool because you saw the black like powder come out of the doll's head, but also her head. You saw like the black like
the black steam or
Satan
like black
essence
smoke.
Or whatever it was. Yeah. Satan the, jism or whatever the hell.
Yeah,
was
the black
to
magic
be.
That tied the two together came out.
Yeah. I liked it. I thought it was a good movie.
Yeah, I was thoroughly entertained. I would definitely watch it again. In fact, I will because I bought the 4K.
I'll definitely watch it again. And I recommended it to friends of mine who like.
And in my list of Nicolas Cage films, this is right below Mandy. I think Mandy's always going to be number one.
Yeah, Mandy's good.
And I think this one gets right under Mandy, and then the color out of space right underneath that.
Did you see that other one he was in, where he plays himself? What was
the unbearable weight of massive talent.
That was supposed to be. That's supposed to be.
I enjoyed it. I did watch it.
I thought it was very entertaining.
He played himself, but in supposedly like it's a caricature of himself that he plays in real life or whatever. But I liked it. I thought it was a good movie.
Right before I went to watch Long Legs, I watched that other film with him in it on...
The one that's on Shudder.
On Shudder,
right?
Yeah.
Acadia.
You said it was decent, right?
Yeah, it was not bad at all. I really enjoyed that
one. It's on my queue. It's in my queue.
Yeah, it's on Shudder. Yep.
Yeah, that was a pretty like post-apocalyptic one, and they didn't spend a lot of money on the special effects, but the monsters were pretty fucking terrifying in it. So overall, I'm going to say for this movie... Out of 5 stars, I'm gonna give it 4.
Yeah,
I liked it.
That's where I was going.
I was bouncing around between 4 and 4.5. I think, like I said, the Satan balls kind of pushed me from 4.5 to 4. But I really liked it. I thought it was a great movie. So 4.
Yep. Okay.
Yeah. Excellent. 4 stars from the American Nightmare podcast for Long Legs. If you're into horror films, you'll definitely enjoy it. If you're into Nicolas Cage films, you'll definitely enjoy it. And if you're into mystery horror films and crime-solving horror films, it's definitely a good one. I really liked it.
Me too.
All right. Awesome. Let me just do some wrap-up here. I just want to say, again, thank you to all of our listeners for listening to the American Nightmare podcast. If you got some suggestions for future podcasts, for top five lists, for movie reviews,
please
give us an email, feedback@the-american-nightmare.com. Or you can call us and leave us a voicemail if you're too lazy to write an email. 1-562-247-5855. Leave us a voicemail. Tell us that we suck. Tell us that we're great. Give us a top five suggestion. Give us a movie suggestion. Tell us we're wrong about our review of something. Whatever you want to do, just leave a voicemail at that number. And we will talk to you next month. Thank you.
Sweet.
So long.